Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we have a couple people on this call because we are getting an update from Fury Gold Mines, traded on the TSX and NYSE under the symbol FURY. We are chatting with Ivan Bebek, the chairman of Fury Gold Mines. We're also chatting with the new president and CEO, Tim Clark. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Fury Gold Mines does hold a number of different projects here. The Committee Bay project in Nunavut, as well as the Eau Claire property in Quebec. And the company did, just at the tail end of last year, manage to sell one of their, let's say, other assets in BC, the Homestake property. Now, guys, I first want to introduce Tim to our audience and the show, because this is the first time Tim is coming on the show. Ivan, take us through the transition here of Tim joining the team at Fury Gold Mines and your relationship with him, please.
Sure, thanks. It's really great to be back and at a really exciting time for Fury. We first met Tim back in the spring, actually. The former CEO, Mike Timmins, introduced us to Tim Clark in April. And the whole reason of trying to appeal Tim to join the board was to really improve our capital markets presence and get paid for what we were missing on our share price and try to create a lot more value for shareholders. That relationship grew really well amongst the board and myself, and we got on quite well. And, you know, we came to that transformational time in August where Mike had left, and we switched from being a development-focused company to more of an exploration company because of the amount of exploration we had in front of us before we could even really, you know, consider developing these assets. And, you know, the projects told us, you got a lot more to drill here and a lot more ounces to find. So when Mike left, Tim was our most wanted candidate for a lot of reasons. And for me, you know, Tim and I, we see eye to eye on the most important factors of this company, and that's culture, ability to raise capital, to position the company. And something that Tim's done a tremendous job of is he simplified the story a lot, and that was his mandate from day one. So Tim comes to us from a very extensive banking career, which most recently was with BMO, where he was leading up as an institutional sales representative in Boston, Tim, if I'm correct. And yep. You were covering some of the biggest accounts in the business, and some of the accounts you covered included some of the largest mining companies in the world. And your pedigree of knowledge in the mining markets was something I've actually learned quite a bit since, but you've learned from some of the biggest CEOs in the business. And I see it every day when Tim's handling the business of Fury. I see a lot of his experience around some of these major companies and really good forethought in how we position ourselves. And it's been a delight.
All right, Tim, let's get you in here. Ivan did a good job of laying out some of your background and how you guys came together, but give us a little bit more insights in what you've done in this sector and now what your goals are to move Fury forward, please.
Effectively, I spent 23 plus years in the capital markets, focused on putting mining companies together with some of the largest investors globally. It was a great position to be in, to learn from some of the best in the industry. When I was over at BMO, I was there for 8 years, and I was part of the number one mining banking platform, and I think the number one sales platform in the world. They backed into the number one, by far, mining conference in the world, and it's been a love for me. And when I left the industry, I wanted to focus on the corporate side. I felt like there was a lot of things I could do to help, and a lot of mistakes that I saw along the way. A lot of it's about aligning with investors, and I think sometimes companies forget that as investors are looking to manage their own portfolios, they need to hear the story in a simplified way that makes sense to them and fits within their targets of how they want to perceive risk and return. And after 6 months of working with Ivan and the board and the rest of them, it was pretty instantaneous. There was some risk in coming over to a smaller company in a time of sort of turmoil when the stock price had come off over the summer. But there was clearly a pathway. As I look and I try to combine how a company is run and align it with how the markets are going, I think there's just so much upside to the gold price. It's been a quiet industry for some time, but with the way the world has shifted, I think inflation is here to stay. As much as a lot of people would like to pretend that it's transitory, I don't agree. And I think that if you're looking for something in the gold industry and you kind of buy that philosophy, you're better off looking at a company like Fury, which has a lot more leverage given its junior small cap expiration. A lot of companies, top CEOs, will admit that the best way you create value is you find it. And I'm in a great spot with a company that doesn't just have one asset. Effectively, we had four until we sold Homestake, but we're keeping a major position in the Dolly Varden. We're going to be able to reap some benefits in terms of cash to be able to put back in the ground. I'm just really excited to be here, and we've got a lot to share.
Well, Tim, it's great to have you on board as part of the Fury team. And you really came out of the gates in Q4 with a lot of great news for the company. A couple key press releases on drill results from some of the properties. But probably the highlight was the large transaction with Dolly Varden on the sale of Homestake Ridge. So why don't we start there? Unpack for our audience why this is accretive to both companies, and in particular, how Fury intends to get value from this project on the longer term with its partnership now with Dolly Varden.
When I came in April, my observation was we were trying to be too many things. And we had the four assets, and I was behind the idea of selling out Homestake, trying to monetize it a bit, and refocus in on our sort of core assets, which was in Nunavut and with Committee Bay and Eclair in Quebec. It took a little while to get there, but effectively, it really solves a lot of problems for us because we can really be great at what we do back in Quebec and up in Nunavut, and we can allow the guys who are over with Dolly to really focus in on making the most value out of those two assets combined. What I really love about it is there's optionality. We're going to take $5 million in cash and $45 million in stock. We're going to participate right along with them. Sean Kuhn, I have a lot of respect for. I think he's an incredible CEO, great marketer. And what I think my biggest takeaway was when we all sat down for lunch, I knew as soon as we sat down, the deal was going to get done. They're great guys, and we think alike. And I think that's important. So two of us are going to go on the board, myself and Mike Hendrickson, and we're going to help them push forward with what they're doing. They're going to be leveraging our geologists and try to create some value. So essentially, this thing could end up providing us with a lot of funding going forward. We didn't want to give it away for cash right up front. We want to participate. So it was a big win-win for both sides.
Ivan, I also want to get your comments on the sale of this project because we've talked about it for a while here. I know this was a deal that took a bit of time to get done. Give us just your thoughts, a summary of this transaction, why it happened now, please.
You know, as I talked about it with Oren pre-Fury, you know, the hardest thing for me and for the rest of the group has been to put a price on Homestake because it is in the triangle. There's incredibly high grade gold. There's a great resource there. And we went through the process of contemplating selling it for 3 years. And we couldn't find the right deal because we couldn't put a number on it. But taking the big share position, as Tim pointed out, was critical because we get to ride the upside. And the last point I'll make, and I don't know how many people realize this yet, but some of the best holes that we had targeted at Homestake are pending to be drilled. And that's the program, I believe, that's gonna get drilled this coming summer. Would we have liked to have drilled that with Fury? We had too much going on, to Tim's point. There's no way we could have done all of it. And to have this massive share position in their company, we're really excited to be large shareholders. And we think there's a bright future there. And the next 18 months could be very, very, you know, transformational in terms of another success if they continue to add ounces to that project. And so the one feedback we've gotten, both Dolly and Oren or Fury, was these should be one asset. And it makes a lot of logical sense. The synergies are worth more than either company's market cap. And now they are. So I think this is going to be definitely a project to watch. The optionality to Fury, as Tim's pointed out, speaks for itself. And, you know, it's a pretty big statement as a junior gold explorer with very high profile, large scale projects like Committee Bay and all the stuff we have in Quebec, which you hear more about in coming weeks here, to also have a huge marketable security position in a company that could get taken out in the rising metals market. So I think it's a win-win for all sides. I love that we have involvement on their board and teams are working together. And we're both looking forward to enjoying the success together on it, which is great.
All right, let's move on to some other news that came out at the tail end of last year. Over at Committee Bay, December 1st, there were some drill results that highlighted almost 14 grams per ton gold over 10 meters. This is one of the better drill results from this Committee Bay project. Ivan, let's start off with you big picture-wise in terms of what's the potential here at Committee Bay after some of these recent drill results?
Okay, well, for starters, those are the best results we've drilled in 5 years. That same hole has another zone. I think it's 3 meters of 25 or 28 grams, and there's another zone. We hit three distinct zones. It's in a rock that we're describing, to be really succinct about it, as metasediments that we're just learning now. It's mapped on surface to run parallel to three bluffs. You know, if that continues running down plunge and runs parallel to three bluffs, it's kind of like a fork and how it goes. There could be serious ounces added at the most important part of the entire belt where we have 1.3 million ounces of just under 8 grams per ton, right? So it's a massive, massive result. It was completely missed by the market. But, you know, for me, as I've been the champion of Committee Bay since we've acquired it, it's what I was looking for. I didn't expect the result to be as good. But it does have room, and we'll learn, you know, this quarter, it does have room for considerable legs to it. And it's going to be really fun to go drill the next phase up there this summer. So from my end, as the Committee Bay champion for quite some time, it's a 10 out of 10 on a start that could be something more. And the fact that it sits right next to Committee Bay is substantial. We do have results coming in from Raven as well. Those will be out shortly. We'll talk about those once they're out. But you know, I think out of all the years we've spent at Committee Bay, everything has started to make a lot more sense. And unfortunately, discoveries are complex. They're difficult. The big ones, you have to earn them. And I think we've turned the corner now, and we might have a chance to go do it in potentially a very, very robust bull market in gold price, as Tim pointed towards earlier in this interview.
Well, it's going to be exciting to keep following along with the drilling at Committee Bay and looking forward to that summer program. And investors should keep their eyes peeled for more news as they come back from the assay labs. Let's pivot over to one of the other key projects, though, and that is the Eau Claire project. You had some great drill results out in, I believe it was November, from the Hinge Zone. Walk us through why you're excited about a Hinge Zone in particular and what some of these recent drill results are telling you about the project.
As we look into Eau Claire, that's our core asset. The idea is that you're trying to create something that's got room to grow off of a base of a resource. And we hit down on the Hinge, which is a really prolific area to be looking for gold, 9.36 grams over 3 meters. It gives us a lot of confidence that basically we can still find some real quality asset on that part of it. Plus that it keeps going down plunge, and we're basically trying to get that asset to a point where it captures the attention of some larger, either whether it's large producers or mid-tier companies. Those are really exciting drill results. You know, we've sat down this fall with some of the top producers in the business, and they're all looking at that asset. This is sort of like the driver of behind the company. And then when you add in what our mining results were up in Nunavut, and potentially what we could get out with Dolly in terms of upside there. And I'm not trying to skip ahead, but you add in Eleanor South JV, and all of a sudden you've got quite a story with multiple options of way to effectively create value for investors. Again, I sort of circle back that a lot of the junior companies can be one mines where you kind of sit and wait. And we've got, again, a lot of way to create value, not just in the drill bit, and how we manage our portfolio.
All right, Ivan, let's also have you give us just a couple high-level comments on this Eau Claire project, because it is still the newest one within the portfolio of projects, and I know a lot of potential there, but what can you tell us in terms of the high-level strategy here?
Yeah, sure. No, well said, Tim. And Eau Claire, does it get bigger? The answer is affirmatively, yes, it does. Hinges are huge. Great Bear was a big hinge. Three Bluffs is a hinge. These can grow, and no one ever drilled or targeted the hinge before at Eau Claire. 3 meters of 9 grams, that's above our mining width and grade. A lot more holes will go into the hinge for us, but if you want to add serious ounces to get to the goals that Tim pointed out to track the bigger companies, the hinge is going to be one to pay attention to. Snake Lake has also results coming. We don't have them out yet, but it's really starting to make sense, and it's on the other side of Eau Claire, but you know, we came pretty ambitious before Tim took the role as CEO, but as Fury in the beginning, with the potential that Eau Claire could at least double or possibly get bigger. And now we're seeing the evidence that this could happen. Again, last year was heavy lifting, and I have to compliment Tim and the team. Everything that was done was done. We assembled this company during COVID. It was a virtual company, which is incredibly tough for culture. The way that Tim pulled culture together in the fourth quarter was remarkable. I was surprised based on how remote we've all been, right? The odd meeting we've had in person. What I will say, though, as an exploration investor, was somebody that gets thrilled by big discoveries of consequence that could actually mean something. Well, Committee Bay certainly finally on that path, and so is Eau Claire. The ESJV, we have results coming from there, as Tim said, but it's a very, very compelling story. It's well behind the eight ball in terms of where it should be in value. As a large shareholder, I'm not happy about that. But at the same time, I'm a realist. Gold price went down every month since we started Fury until basically the last week or two as it bottomed out last fall. But the results got better, and the fundamentals in our company are way ahead of our share price, which gives us a lot of excitement for a gap closing kind of price performance on the back of a bit of seasonality, which is coming soon. And our finances are really well aligned with our plans. We do not need to go to market to raise working capital till the end of the year. And that's a very good position to be in. On top of that, if we close the Dolly deal, that adds to it another $5 million. And then lastly, any dollars we do raise go right to the drill bit. So those plans to come here in short order, Tim's working vigilantly with the technical team to put together, as he quoted, the best capital, you know, reaction kind of programs going after the biggest discoveries that we can. And we feel like we've got a really good head start. We actually now know where we're going to go find those ounces that we wanted to find. So it's been quite the year. It's exciting to be here, and it's never felt better. And I think that will resonate shortly in the share price. As insiders, happy to be accumulating at these prices, as you'll see here over the next few weeks, while we can, because we believe in what we have here, and it's ridiculously undervalued.
All right, so then, guys, it sounds like a lot of excitement heading into this year, 2022. A number of different projects that it sounds like you want to also get the drill turning on. Tim, give us a summary then of the catalysts, what you're excited about for 2022 this year.
Effectively, we've done a lot of the heavy lifting, and as successful as we've been with the drill bit, our better drill holes are ahead of us. We were able to fine tune and really dial in where we want to be. Our geologists are chewing at the bit to get back and start drilling. You know, the hurdle now is what makes the most sense from a budgetary point of view. Personally, I think 80% of the success of a company like this is in the resource, and 20% is getting out there and getting investors and helping the company to operate effectively. We've trimmed a ton of our expenses already. We're working virtually, not in an office, to save cash. You know, from the feedback that I get from my previous life working with institutional investors and companies as well, this is a really momentous time that I think that we could see commodity prices really swing upward. And we're in an unusual position because we have a story here that has little downside. The stock has come off quite a bit. We've had a number of successes, including the sale of an asset that effectively was half the value of the market cap of our company already. And I think we're going to win with Dolly. I think we're going to come out of that ahead. I think we're going to add value to how we manage our Eleanor South JV. And I think the drill bit is going to really provide us some exciting opportunity, both in Nunavut and Eau Claire. What investors may not already realize is that the Clarkey land package that we have, which is where Eau Claire is, Eau Claire is just one of nine targets that's there. There is enough exploration in just that 30-kilometer area of Quebec that we could spend the next 20 years drilling out. I think another year, summer of drilling, I think this company could be in an incrementally better place this time next year.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here because, look, it sounds like there's a lot that's going to happen this year on a number of different projects. So if anybody has any follow-up questions regarding any of the projects or any of the strategy heading throughout this year, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We'll be having these guys back on the show as more news hits the market. Ivan, Tim, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.